In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lady Fatima,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Ignatius,
pray for us.
So we're into our seventh week, our second session, which we're talking about the two standards. The standard of Christ, the standard of Satan. First session, we're basically talking about the different ways in which the enemy attacks us. The desolation, our woundedness, a lot of free time. Like the street woman, he's weak with the strong, strong with the weak. He wants us to keep a lot of things to ourselves and not to open up. Finally, our kryptonite. He looks for our weak point. And he shoots for the kill. Second part of the two standards would be that of Christ. He tries to attract us by his presence. He's in Jerusalem. He's standing up. He's attractive. He's magnetic. He's intelligent. He's charismatic. And he's inviting people to follow him. We want to beg Mary, the angels and the saints to be accepted underneath the standard of Christ. The word in Spanish is bandera, which means the flag of Christ. Enter into his army to fight the good fight, to run the good race, so that we receive the merited crown that is waiting for us. Now Christ is going to be attracting us through poverty, and through humility, which is the exact opposite of the means by which the devil wants to attract us through riches and vanity and pride. But Jesus wants to embrace a life that goes against materialism, a life that goes against vanity, a life that goes against pride. These are the tools that the Lord wants to attract us to himself. So the two standards will be the first meditations in this week. Standard of Christ, standard of Satan. Okay, the second meditation this week is called the Three Classes of Men. The two standards is directed specifically at our intellect, to really be aware intellectually the way the devil goes after us. Whereas the three classes of men is directed more at our will, strengthening our will. How do we sin? We sin basically because of ignorance in our intellect and weakness of will. Often we know what we should be doing, but we end up doing the exact opposite. Jesus said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. St. Paul says the good I know I should do, I end up doing the exact opposite. We experience this interior conflict within our hearts. We want to do good, we want to do it, but we're just too weak. Therefore, this second meditation in what I call the Ignatian Classics is directed at trying to fortify our will in virtue, in the following of Christ. So I'm going to give you three biblical passages so you can understand the three different men, three different women, which means the three different states of the will of the individual. The will is the your heart, your the part of you where you make decisions. You carry out actions. The first would be the rich young man. Filled with enthusiasm, he runs up to our Lord and says, "Master, what must I do to attain eternal life?" And our Lord says, "Well, follow the commandments." He said, "Well, I follow these commandments ever since I was young." And Jesus looks at him with love, says, "If you want to go be perfect, go sell all you have, give it to the poor, and follow me." And the Gospel says that he went away sad because he had many possessions. And he never followed Christ. He was a good young man. How many young men today could say that they've obeyed all the commandments? I doubt it. I doubt it. So he was a very good person. But that was not good enough. God wanted him to pursue the best. Now you're good people. You're good people. It's not good enough. God wants you to become saints. The enemy of the best is the good. We have to go beyond being good. We have to aim at becoming saints. Now allow these Ignatian meditations to challenge you. Are you still attached to certain things? Be honest. So this is the week to get the sharp scissors and cut. Maybe this meditation makes you feel uncomfortable because maybe you're attached to materialism. Maybe you're attached to money. Maybe you're attached to going out to the mall and buying that 53rd dress. You already have 52. See, these exercises, they're very challenging. And if you're honest with yourself, you should feel in these exercises a certain amount of being uncomfortable with where you're at. You feel uncomfortable. You're not who God wants you to be yet. You're not where God wants you to be yet. But let's keep moving. Let's keep moving in the right direction. You know, your possessions can possess you. As Eric Fromm said, if you are what you have and you lose what you have, who are you? If you are what you have and you lose what you have, who are you? How many people become slaves of what they have in this world, in this country? One of the best literary classics in the history of the world was the greatest novelist in the 19th century. His name was Charles Dickens. He wrote a book that became one of the greatest movies in the history of Hollywood. It's called The Christmas Carol. We have Ebenezer Scrooge. Maybe you saw the movie. Maybe you read the text, in which he's a slave of his money. Then he has a dream of his own death. And he wakes up and he's converted. And he buys the fat turkey in the market and goes to Bob Cratchit's house. Merry Christmas, Bob Cratchit. He learned that money could not really bring him happiness. You know, Paul McCartney used to sing, "Money can't buy me love," huh? So that's the first class of men. Jesus called them to follow, and he said no, because he preferred his own material possessions and his own comfort. Second class. Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem. And he's inviting people to follow him. So he approaches this one man and says, "Come and follow me." And the man says, "Well, Lord, I just bought a plot of land and I bought these animals, so not yet." So he's heading on his way, and he bumps into a man that just got married. And our Lord says, "Come and follow me." So, "Lord, I just got married." "It's not finished, but I'll finish it," in the American society. "Let me go on my honeymoon, huh?" Let me spend a week, 10 days in Niagara Falls, no? Or maybe let me go to Las Vegas. Give me a couple of days. Jesus, uh-uh. You're going to follow me now, or you're not going to follow me. Our God is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. He's not going to take second place to anyone. Are you willing to give up everything to follow Christ? What's holding you back? And the third, our Lord says, "Come and follow me." And the man says, "Well, my Lord, my father just died." Jesus says, "Let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me." All of these were called to become disciples of Christ. But they would follow only under their conditions. I call these the but followers. The but followers. "I will follow you, but." You know, I think you got to kick the butt in the butt. Kick the butt in the butt. These exercises are called to really transform our lives. Well, we have to look deep within the inner recesses of our hearts and see what's holding us back from following Christ fully and totally. If these exercises are done well, they will transform your lives. And you're going to be on the highway to holiness. But you got to get rid of the baggage. You got to get rid of the baggage. You got to dump it. Jesus wants a free heart. He wants it to be free, not attached. Once there was a little 7-year-old girl that had a necklace. Necklace that her mother bought for her at 99 cents. Plastic necklace. The mother said, "Hey, give me the necklace. Give me the necklace, I'll give you something better." She said, No, this is... No, don't touch my necklace. Week passed, and the mother said, "Hey, give me the necklace." No. So after the mother says, "Give me the necklace," finally the girl, when the mom came home, was in tears. Said, "Mom, here's the necklace." And the mother hugged the little girl, took her into her room, and opened up the jewel box and gave the little girl a pearl necklace. How many of us are clinging to the plastic necklace when God wants to give us a pearl necklace? Did you understand that? If I wanted to fill your hand with diamonds and you got sawdust, there's no way for me to put diamonds into a hand filled with sawdust. You got to open up the hand and you got to relinquish it. Give it up. Give it up. St. John of the Cross, the mystical doctor of the church, says that a bird cannot fly if it has a chain around its foot or even a little string. Even a little string. What are the little strings that are still keeping us from flying high? Jonathan Swift, another great writer, English writer. One of his masterpieces was Moby Dick, another one was Gulliver's Travels. There's a scene in Gulliver's Travels where the giant is laying on the shore and he's exhausted. And these little guys called the Lilliputtons come and they start to wind these little strings around this giant. When he wakes up, he can't even move because he's threaded in by these little Lilliputtons that have just threaded these little threads around him. That's a symbol of us. We're called to do great things. Maybe we're land lovers, but we're really called to fly high, like Jonathan Seagull, huh? What's keeping you from following Christ? Those are the three classes of men in the second class. And I see it this way. The first man was attached to material things. Money, possessions, new car, economic security, comfort, ease. The second one was attached to people. These exercises might teach you that you're in a relationship with a person, you got to end it. You got to end it. You're in contact with a person that's not going to help you at all. You got to end it. You got to cut it. And the third is a person that's attached to the past. What did Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. You come and follow me. How many people are still living in the past because of past wounds? They live so much in the past, what happened in the past, that they don't live in the present. Jesus said in the Diary of St. Faustina, number two, leave the past to God's infinite mercy. Leave the future to His divine providence. Live the present moment. The sacrament of the present moment, yeah. Diary of St. Faustina, number two. So let's arrive now at the third class. These exercises, they're very, very powerful. They're very good, but you got to be honest. You got to be honest that we have a lot of attachments. If you're not honest and sincere with yourself, the exercises don't work. They work through magnanimity, a very generous, honest, sincere heart. Yeah, let's take the third class. I like to take the call of St. Matthew. Did St. Matthew always live a very holy life? He probably didn't. Matthew was a tax collector. They're known to be materialistic and dishonest. They worked for the Romans, but they would pocket a lot of the money. So they're known to be a pretty shiftless, dishonest, deceitful group of individuals. So Jesus one day is walking in front of Matthew, in front of his customs post, and he looks at Matthew. And he stares right into the eyes of Matthew and says, come and follow me. Matthew left everything. He burnt his bridges once and for all. And he invites Jesus to go to his house, and he opens up the door and has a huge banquet for Jesus. Who does he invite? What a motley group of individuals sat at that table. Tax collector, prostitutes, drunks, all the dregs of society, huh? Now, why was Matthew converted? I believe that Jesus looked right into the eyes of Matthew and penetrated the very depths of the heart, and Matthew melted. I believe it was a penetrating gaze that went right to the heart. And he just capitulated. That loving gaze of Christ. When are you going to look into the eyes of Christ? This is the week. He's not reproaching you. He's not upbraiding you. He's not rebuking you. He's challenging you, but with love. I have to say, he's challenging you, with love. Are we willing to give up what we're holding on to? Remember the little girl with the plastic necklace? I mean, she gave up the plastic necklace and her mother gave her a pearl necklace. Maybe worth $500. The pearl necklace was only 99 cents. Sometimes we're clinging to the 99 cents. We're clinging to the sawdust and God wants to give us diamonds. So Matthew says yes. And it wasn't, yes, I'll follow you tomorrow or maybe next week. I'll follow you upon my condition. Matthew decided to follow Jesus just like that. Just like that. Matthew put no conditions. No reservations. Yes, I'll follow you, but none of this, but I'll follow you later. And I was resisting entering into the seminary. I was putting it off. It's a lot of fears, no? Going to another country, learning another language. And I was visiting one of the brothers in Boston, and he said, quoting St. Alphonsus, God calls, and he calls, and then he doesn't call anymore. And I collapsed with that. In that moment, I decided to leave everything and to go to Rome and study to become a priest 7 years after ordained by John Paul II. But I was still attached. As a professional teacher, no? I had my car, I had my money, no? I had my friends, no? Well, a nice life, no? No debts or anything like that? I mean, I was free. But it's clinging to my security in the American lifestyle. But once I said yes to following Christ, it's been the best 40 years of my life. But I had to say yes. But I was afraid. I think sometimes our fears paralyze us. We have to overcome our fears. We have to trust. Jesus said, trust in you. Now look at Matthew. Let's count all of the blessings that God gave to Matthew because he said yes to Jesus. Let's count them. Don't forget, he said yes, and by saying yes, he left his position. He left his money. He left a lucrative gaining position. He left his shady friends. He left a lot. But he's going to gain much more. Number one, he, by saying yes to Christ, was incorporated into being one of the apostles. A very select group of individuals. One of the super apostles. But even more, he was selected to be, there's only four of them in the whole world, and there's never going to be more than four. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was called to be one of the four evangelists. If Matthew didn't say yes, maybe we'd only have three Gospels. What else? Matthew was called to be a missionary. Jesus says, go out to the whole world. Teach them what I taught you. And I'll be with you always until the end of the world. Number four. Matthew, we celebrate his feast day in September. And the priest comes out in the mass dressed in red. You know why? He died as a martyr. He shed his blood for Christ. Objectively, my friends, the best way to die is to die as a martyr. Because we're imitating Christ on the cross. Because we're shedding our blood for Christ. And we go right to heaven. No purgatory. But the most important thing that Jesus gave to Matthew, because he said yes to following Christ right then and there, is to enter into a deep friendship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Above and beyond everything I've said, the fact that from that moment on, Jesus and Matthew would be friends, and their friendship would be growing day after day until Matthew sheds his blood. And where is Matthew now? Matthew is in heaven now listening to this talk in honor of his yes. So the three classes of men should make us feel uncomfortable. I have come to comfort the afflicted, but to afflict the comfortable. I've come to comfort the afflicted, but to afflict the comfortable. You have to look into the mirror of your soul and ask yourselves right now, what is preventing you from following Jesus Christ fully, totally, and unreservedly? And you have to be honest. Okay, the three grades of humility. We move from the three classes of men to the three grades of humility. Buckle your seat belts. We're going deeper now, okay? These exercises, they're very demanding, but if they're done well, they change lives. Okay, the first degree of humility. Pray for the grace to die rather than to commit one mortal sin. Death rather than one mortal sin. Yesterday, I celebrated two masses for First Communion, the First Communion children. St. Dominic Savio, who died about 150 years ago in Italy, he made his First Communion when he was about 7 years old, which was really rare back then. Do you know what St. Dominic Savio wrote out as his First Communion proposals? Number one, I will celebrate Mass and the holy days of obligation with a lot of joy and fervor. Second, Jesus and Mary will be my best friends. Last, he said, death rather than sin. 7 years old. And he was serious. Death rather than sin. He's going to die at 14 in 11 months. Okay? But he prefers to die rather than to hurt his relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you have heard of Saint Maria Goretti. How did she die? A young man wanted to rape her. She was only 11 years old. She looked much older. 11 years old. Alessandro Serinelli was looking at pornography. And at first they had a friendly relationship, but he was going after her. And she was alone in her house watching over her baby sister. And he comes in and says he wanted to have relations with her. She says, "No, Alessandro, it's a mortal sin. If we do it, we're going to go to hell." He pulled out an ice pick, stabbed her 11 times. No mortal wounds until she turned over on her back, stabbed another 3 times, and punctured her lungs. Rushed her to the hospital. Now, she was dying. A priest asked her, "Do you forgive Alessandro?" She said, "Not only have I forgiven him, I want him to be with me in heaven." And she died. Death rather than mortal sin. Two worst things we can do in life. One, commit a mortal sin. Something worse, to die in mortal sin. If we commit a mortal sin now, we can be forgiven. If we're repentant, we go to confession, we can still be saved. But if we die in the state of mortal sin, we will be lost for all eternity. That's the worst fate that can become any individual in this world. May God save us from that. As well as our children and our loved ones. May God save us from that. Death rather than mortal sin. Second degree of humility. Death rather than to commit a deliberate venial sin. Ignatius is very demanding. Very demanding. How easy it is for us to give in to gossip. How easy it is for us to tell a white lie. How easy it is for us to be unkind. How easy it is for us to play with bad thoughts. How easy it is for us to give in to jealousy. How easy it is for us to just give in to laziness. I mean, are these mortal sins? No, they're not mortal sins. But they're venial sins. And maybe, related to the three classes of men, maybe we have to work at fighting against some of the venial sins in our life that we justify saying, well, everyone else does them. You know, telling a white lie, I mean, everyone else does it. Ring, 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 ring. Hello? Who is it? I'm your Aunt Lupe. Mom, it's Aunt Lupe. Tell her that I'm not here now. My mommy says she's not here now. Is it a mortal sin? No, but it's a lie. You can't tell lies. Well, everybody else does it. Hey, you got to follow Christ. You can't go with the flow. You got to be willing to follow Christ. You have to be countercultural. You got to swim against the current. You got to walk to a different tune, as the poet says. Got to be different. Jesus said we're going to be persecuted, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You're going to be persecuted. But rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Suffer a little bit here on earth and rest forever in heaven. It's worth it. Third degree of humility is a willingness to suffer humiliations for Jesus Christ. You want to grow in humility? It's a great virtue, isn't it? You want to grow in humility? The royal highway to growing in humility is through humiliations. And they're going to come. Now, I've thought about this the past couple of years, humiliations. Whether we like it or not, they're going to come. You're going to be humiliated, so am I. So when they come, instead of getting angry and resentful and vindictive and seeking a way in which you can get even, try to accept the humiliations, unite them to the cross, and offer it for the conversion of sinners. Offer it for your children, for their sanctification and salvation. So this is the three degrees of humility. Death rather than mortal sin. Dominic Savio, death rather than sin. Maria Goretti, the martyrs. San Lorenzo Ruiz, the Filipino saint. I prefer to die 1,000 deaths rather than commit one mortal sin. Filipino saint. Venial sin. We got to fight against it. We're going to sin, but we have to fight against sin. As the book of Hebrews says, we haven't yet resisted to the point of shedding blood against sin. The letter to the Hebrews. And humiliations, they're going to come. Usually they're going to come at home with your family members. Offer it up. Accept it. Unite it to the cross. Place it on the altar in Holy Mass. So that's going to be a means of your own sanctification. How much suffering we waste. Suffering either makes us better or bitter. Better or bitter. Allow the humiliation to make you a better or more holy person. All right. This week also is a week in which you're going to be writing out your own plan of life. or reform of life. And the purpose is to help us to order the disordered. We all have disorders in our life. The exercise can help us to order the disorder. We're going to give you two different written forms. One we call the spiritual chronological, and the other is going to be the professional. The spiritual chronological plan of life is look at your spiritual life and see what you can do adding to your spiritual practices. Your professional is the 10 different categories in your life where you can improve. Let's go through these briefly. Okay, the chronological. What can you do every year? So each of these categories of time, I'm going to give you a suggestion. Every year, see if you can make a spiritual retreat. 3-day retreat. 5-day retreat. Maybe an 8-day retreat. Which you leave your home, your family, you go to a retreat house, and you give yourself totally to God for 8 days. Every month, get in the habit of making a really good confession every month. You've already made your general confession. You prepare yourself to really encounter the mercy of Christ. Now the next confession should be easier, because painstakingly, you spend 3 to 4 hours preparing for the general confession. The other confession sins should be easier, because you've gotten it all out. Every month you also might aim at reading a good book. A good book to nourish your mind. Every week. Every week, I do some type of penance you're called to do on Fridays. Maybe make the way of the cross. To do the way of the cross, to walk with Mary and Jesus on the road to Calvary, to recognize how much He loves us, how much He suffered for us, how much are we willing to suffer for Him. Because love is measured by the willingness to suffer for the loved one. Love is measured by the willingness to suffer for the loved one. Every day. If it's possible, try to go to daily Mass. If it's possible. Not every day, a couple of days a week. Receive the bread of life with fervor and love. Okay, from every day, every 8 hours. In the Philippines, at 12 noon, in Manila and Cebu, in the malls, in the markets, they stop everything to pray the Angelus. Maybe we can go to Macy's or Nordstrom's to ask them to do it here. Wouldn't that be good? You cannot do it at Macy's or Nordstrom's. Do it. Do it yourself. And I would suggest to pray the Angelus, if it possible, pray it at 9 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, and 6 p.m. 9 o'clock to sanctify the morning hours, 12 o'clock to sanctify the afternoon, and 6 o'clock to sanctify the night. Three Marian moments of consecration. Every hour, if possible, offer to God an aspiration from your heart in which you say, Jesus, I love you, save souls. Every second, tell Jesus that you want your heart every second to be saying, Jesus, I love you. So I've gone from the year all the way down to the second. What would happen if you really lived out that plan of life? I mean, people, when you died, I'd be ready to canonize you. I think you'd be ready to be canonized. You'd be a saint if you really lived out this plan of life. That plan of life I wrote out many years ago is called the chronological. You're going, chronological means time. Every year, month, week, day, 8 hours, every hour, every second. In other words, we want to give ourselves totally to Jesus through Mary. And to live out what the Greek poet, that St. Paul quoted in the Acts, in him we live and move and have our being. In God we live and move and have our being. God is all in all. We're living constantly in the presence of God. And Teresa of Avila says we sin because we forget about the presence of God. So living in the presence of God is the key to avoid sin. Aware that God is looking at us, we're not going to commit a sin. When we sin, we become temporary atheists. We try to see God, can't see me, pick and boo, huh? God doesn't see me. In the professional plan of life, I wrote out for you 10 different categories. How can you improve your relationship with your wife or your husband? How can you become a better mother? You can improve. How can you improve your sacramental life? You can receive the Eucharist with a better disposition, right? You can confess better. How can you work on your permanent formation? What is the book that God wants you to read now? How can you improve in your social life? Maybe you're called to give up that relationship with that person. Every time you go with that person, you end up by gossiping. End it. You're not getting anywhere with that person. How can you improve your penitential life? What are you going to give up on Friday? What's the sacrifice you're going to do on Friday to show that you really love Christ? What about your apostolic life? The call of the King? How are you going to work with Jesus Christ to save souls? Now's the time. The harvest is rich. The laborers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers to work in his vineyard. You're called to enter into the harvest. Jesus wants to go fishing. Jesus wants you to go into the ship, into the bark, into the boat. He wants you to be dropping the nets. Pull in the fish. And how can you improve in your Marian devotion? We said that these spiritual exercises are going to be very Marian. How can you love Mary? If you're not praying the rosary now, undertake the praying of the daily rosary. Because the family that prays together stays together. We say to Mary, Hail, Holy Queen, Mother Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Now this plan of life has as its purpose to order the disordered in our lives. We all have disorders. You remember Juan Diego? He cut those flowers. What did Our Lady do? She ordered those rosaries in his telma. So let's ask Mary to work with us in these exercises, to order the disordered in our lives, and to take this week, which is called the week of the Ignatian Classics, the two standards, three classes of men, the three grades of humility, with the composing of our plan of life, as a series of meditations that can help us to become great saints. Jesus said, Be holy as my Heavenly Father is holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.